author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Every Thursday, we are fortunate enough to chat with an author about a book. One of the themes that we have focused on here over time is the mischaracterization in order to have a great job, a well-paying job or a career, that you have to go to college. You've got to go. That's the only route. And in fact, we did a huge focus, I think it was over a year ago, on all the different industries that actually have shortages that will pay you to learn, with insurance and paid vacation. And while there are, of course, some industries that do require a college education, it certainly in no way, shape, or form is necessary in order to have a successful career. There are also a lot of other reasons not to go to college. Our author of the week, Dr. Michael Robillard, is an independent scholar, philosopher, Iraq War veteran, held prior academic appointments at the University of Notre Dame and the University of Oxford and the U.S. Naval Academy. And he is one of the two authors of the book, Don't Go to College, A Case for Revolution. Now, the book actually doesn't come out for a few weeks, just so people note, so you have time to pre-order from ABC Books, and they'll have those in stock once it does become available. But was really interested in this book, really interested in having the conversation with Dr. Robillard. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. And if you would, why write the book? Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So what prompted you to write the book?
The 10 years or so that I spent in academia, along with my co-author, Tim Gordon, we both came to, the tragic realization that we weren't really in a place that was conducive to free thought, its original telos and purpose. That it was very much a very controlled area of dialogue and thought, and it's a credentialing institution at this point, but it's not conducive towards being able to express ideas, nor to implicate students with virtue, essentially.
And one of the areas of the top reasons that you talk about regarding the argument of not going to college folds into what you're saying, and you talk about college, it's just bad for your mind, and the replacement of these things that you talk about that make learning virtuous and the universities virtuous, instead being replaced with things like critical race theory and diversity and equity, and you argue that it's not even necessarily a waste of time, it's just flat out bad for your mind.
Pretty much so, yes. This is the conclusion that we both arrived at, tragically. And we go into great length of unpacking the ideology of intersectionality or wokeism or identity politics, however you want to cash it out. Mm-hmm. It's endemic to almost every Western institution of higher education now. And that is That's the intellectual waters that students will be swimming in if they go to college. Even if they're getting something like a STEM degree, that will be the ecosystem that they will be immersed in for 4 to 6 years. Well, and that's part and parcel of the college experience now.
Yeah, and if you would expand on that a bit, when we talk specifically about STEM, I think a lot of folks feel that, well, that's safe because we're talking about factual things. We're talking about 1 + 1 = 2. We're talking about scientific approaches. So there's no way that wokeness can be interwoven into that. But in fact, it is.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, right now you can look at something like the University of Toronto, for instance, as a liberating mathematics course where they're trying to reimagine a priori mathematics as being downstream from white male colonialism. You can find other instances of the hard sciences and logic departments that argue that the a priori logic is derivative of race or sex or colonialism. Within the biomedical sciences, right now, you'd probably be very hard-pressed to find medical professors that would dare stick their neck out to challenge the transgender ideology that's present and dare to say that men can't get pregnant. And then within, I would say, within computer science, when we look at what happened with James Damore at Google and how he got his career ruined for critiquing Google's echo chamber, within tech and computer science, this ideology of wokeism is latent there as well. And if we look at the horrors of the 20th century, whether it be the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany, there's obviously instances where the objective science got co-opted by the political ideology of the time. So it's not as if science and mathematics is immune to politicization.
We're talking with our author of the week, Dr. Michael Robillard. The book is Don't Go to College, A Case for Revolution. I've often remarked that it cost an indecent amount of money to learn how not to think in this country. And one of the arguments that you make for not going to college is the cost.
Certainly. Yeah. Right now we're at, I think, a collective $1.9 trillion worth of aggregated student loan debt in the country that's accruing roughly at about $3,000 per second. And this is something that you saw AOC and the squad were, you know, recently demanding that taxpayers bail out, come to the aid of student loan recovery, which is, you know, that would just be a horrible idea because you set that precedent, then every couple of years you're going to be having a new generation expecting that they're going to get bailed out. But, you know, this is across the aisle. You see both Democrats and Republicans recognizing just how ruined a generation has been by college debt.
One of the interesting aspects of this that you talk about or write about is college becoming an adult daycare. And I think on one hand, a lot of people, they look maybe back to their own college days and they think, well, that was part of the college experience. You go and you party and there are iconic movies that are based around that very idea. But the way that you present this describes a different type of experience, a different outcome, which leads to what you refer to as college becoming an adult daycare. Will you talk about that?
Well, if we think, you know, part of living a flourishing human life is being able to have a family, then what college essentially does is provides at least a 4 to 6 year impediment in that flourishing and that development, at least logistically, if not ideologically. So during that time period, up until just recently, it was normal for human beings to get married and start a family young in their early 20s. And now because of college and then student debt and then having to get advanced degrees and then having to go to a city to get the internship and the next job and whatever, both men and women, they've been putting off developing families into their late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, and 40s, myself included. You know, myself and Tim Gordon are sort of opposites in this regard. Mm-hmm. You know, he has 7 children, and I'm still single and buried in student debt. So it's, I think, an impediment to, if you regard family formation as part of a flourishing life, it's certainly a logistical impediment to that.
Having held academic appointments at some of the most renowned universities, did you ever at any point find yourself starting to get affected by this? Did you have any moment you're like, oh, wait a minute here, I got to get my bearings, I'm starting to get assimilated here? Or were you always pretty much a stiff barrier and recognized it and knew it was coming and able to not be affected by it?
A little bit of both, I guess. You know, I went into analytic philosophy focusing on in the areas that are pretty pretty quality controlled in terms of logical rigor. And the space that I was in, we always laughed at the postmodernists. We always recognized that was garbage philosophy, that it was a terrible thinking, and I never paid any attention to it. And I thought the analytics had won. But around 2017 or so, this is when you saw the pronoun stuff and the critical race theory really bust out of the margins of the lit crit department and run roughshod over the analytic philosophy department and into the mainstream culture. And this is where you saw folks like Jordan Peterson getting drugged over the coals and whatnot. And I think for me, that was my wake-up call to realize, wait a second, I'm not in a healthy institution anymore, and I need to start speaking up and saying when the emperor has no clothes.
Final question for our author, Dr. Michael Robillard. The book is Don't Go to College, A Case for Revolution. It's just so ingrained in our society, and you know, still, even though we see the results and we recognize you don't have to go to college to have a very good, solid, promising career, but there's this instinct a lot of parents have that, well, it's still better just in case. You know, that way there are more options. And it's very difficult emotionally for parents to push past that idea that it's still better to send their kids to college, regardless of what, you know, without even their child necessarily having a pathway where they say, well, I want to be a veterinarian. They don't know what they want to do. What do you say to those parents who fear the idea of not having their child go to a university?
Well, I would say once again to look at the record, particularly over the last 5 years, of what the actual content of the curriculum that is in the majority of these universities now, and how woke and intersectional it is, and then ask whether or not that is a trade-off that one's willing to make with their own child's mind. And then second of all, you mentioned this at the beginning, is that, look, things like the trades, I think, could be just as much as, or it could be just as profitable or beneficial as going to college. And it could be done in two years instead of four, and be setting people up with an apprenticeship and a good firm foundation of skills that are translatable to economic success. So that would be the other suggestion, I would say, is that trade schools are starting to come back, and I think there's a reason for that. And I would encourage all parents to think in those terms if they're looking for, you know, something
right
as an alternative.
Arthur of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Dr. Michael Robillard. Don't Go to College, A Case for Revolution. I really appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Thank you. Springfield's Talk 104.1, and as I mentioned, of course, ABC Books, North Glenstone, making all of our interviews possible. This actual book doesn't get released until August 2nd. It was I know, far in advance, but just for scheduling reasons, this was the time that worked best to use it. Usually, we coordinate those interviews the week that they do release. So I would recommend, instead of trying to make a mental note, to remember in August to go to ABC Books, I would go ahead and call over there, and Valerie or whomever is answering the phone, I'm sure they can go ahead and reserve you a copy ahead of time, so you don't forget to get the book, Don't Go to College, A Case for Revolution. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.